All right, so this verse is from John 4. So, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the end of the near the field that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone and at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed. It's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?"
Thank you, Matthew. Last week we had Jonathan read. This week, Matthew. Who will be next? You never know. You never know. Quite often, life can be very messy. And my experience is when life has been messy in my own space, that community is always the answer, not isolation. But sometimes there's a tremendous pull for isolation. Because if you're a man, well, people can't see you like that or like this. Because that's what we've been told, men should not be weak or have such struggles. And if you're a woman, well, that can be even harder. What will they think of me? And how will I be perceived? And that's just too, this is just too much. And I can't let people see me this way. And so it begs the question that has been kind of resonating with me all week. Early on in the week, God planted a thought and it has stayed with me throughout the week. I haven't been able to shake it. And the thought is this: if you really knew me, if I really knew you, if we really knew each other, would you still like me? Would I still like you? Could we still get on, get along? Would I be acceptable? Would I still be loved? And that question so often causes us to hide and conceal. Because deep down inside, somewhere in our own being, we don't really possess the answer. We don't know how it's going to go. When we're seen in different lights, will we still be accepted? Will we regret coming out of the shadows and sharing what's going on in us? In this year, we're going to be pressing and encouraging and steering people towards community. Because community is where acceptance needs to be taking place. Community is where, even though when we see each other's warts and shortcomings and frailties, that we still love one another. That we don't turn our backs from each other, but we actually will help one another. And sometimes that can be difficult because a lot of times someone else's weakness, well, is unnerving. Have you ever been in a position where you just didn't know what to say to somebody? And maybe we shouldn't have said anything and should say anything. We just need to be quiet and be a great set of ears to be able to let that person emote and just release whatever has been weighing them down and plugging them. And wouldn't it be great to have someone like that? Someone who would come along and spend some time with us and hear us out. That we could actually bounce who we are before them, and at the end of the day, they'll still stick around. They'll still care about us. They'll still love us. We'll still be their friend. That we won't be unfriend, as people unfriend one another on Facebook and determine that they've had enough. And hasn't that probably happened to each of us somewhere in time? Maybe not on Facebook, but where we actually came out and people saw a side of us they either couldn't deal with or wouldn't deal with or didn't know how to deal with. And so the answer to them was to walk away. I think the woman at the well probably experienced many of these things. She had a rough life. One that maybe on the surface you and I would be moved and even tempted to judge. After all, she's been married 5 times. I don't know about you, but I have thought when I hear like these stars in Hollywood get married once, twice, 3 times, you say to yourself, how many times are you going to do this, right? And we sit in wonderment. If you can't get it right, why go there? Well, this woman had 5 experiences And each one fell by the wayside. And you know, we could be very easily tempted to think, what is her problem? Never taking into consideration that it always takes two, right? Especially in a society and a culture at that time that was shaped and established and ran by men. What did this woman go through? Right. I could tell you this, that for her to be out at the well at the hottest time of the day meant that she was isolated, and probably for a lot of reasons. But one that comes to mind is that she's not someone that we would necessarily want around our daughters. You know? She doesn't necessarily set the best example. So I wonder how many times she would join and went out to the well and was sneered at or looked down upon, to the point where she knew in her life that she needed to go to that place where nobody else would be around so as not to have to deal with those issues. An outcast, marked for life, avoided, used of men, sneered by women, alone, and very distant. In a culture that was looked down upon by the Jews because they were not full Jews, they had a mixture. There was that, the fact that she was a woman. In her own culture, she became a part of a subclass, someone who would be marginalized and cut off. But then, there was Jesus. And we all know that he's different. He's different. And we could say, well, he didn't know any better. We could think this, right? He didn't know any better going to the well that day, you know, who would be there, who that person would be inside and out. But that is never the case. Because just like you and I, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, God knows us. God knows us. He knows every inch of our being, and nothing surprises him. And he knew full well what he would be running into. Theologians bounce around back and forth, you know, why did Jesus go that way that day? Some would say it was the quickest route to where he wanted to go. But many believe it was a balance of the two, that it was the quickest route, but he went because the woman would be there and that he wanted to meet her and he wanted to have a conversation with her. In fact, we're told that this is one of the longest dialogues that Jesus had with anyone in the scriptures. Someone else who no one else would want to deal with, no one else would want to talk to, Jesus made it his business to talk to her, to spend time with her, to engage her, because she mattered to God. Yes, Jesus was different. He was someone who would be willing to talk to her. He didn't think it was a bad thing to be around this woman. Oh, no, she wasn't a prostitute, but she was certainly living an immoral life. But that didn't matter to Jesus. In fact, I want to tell you, the people that sometimes we find it hardest to be around are the very people that God wants to get a hold of and be around, because he cares about them. And the woman, once she came in contact with Jesus, immediately started to sense that there was something different about him, that he would spend time with her. And she went to say in verse 9, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How could you ask me for a drink?" As if he needed her help as a man to get water out of that well. Physically capable, I'm sure he could have done it all himself. But he engaged her for a reason. And immediately as he started to engage her, something went on in her mind. Something kicked in her heart. This guy actually wants to talk to me. He's interested in my life. He doesn't see me the way other people see me, or look at me the other way people look at me. And that was even before it all came out about her life, right? She was just going on the fact that she was a woman, and she was a Samaritan. That would have been enough for any Jew to avoid her. but Jesus didn't avoid her. He made it his business to spend time with her. And why? Because like with all of us, there is so much at stake. There's so much at stake. Because on the other side of this life, and none of us know how many years or days or months or hours we have here, but on the other side of all of this is eternity. And common sense tells us that whatever eternity is going to look like is going to be certainly longer, more extended than this brief moment of time. A time that is going to go on forever and ever and ever without end. And when we think about that and we think about entering into that time and in what shape will we enter in, you have to admit, there's a lot at stake here. So much so that God would send his only son because he wants to make sure that each of us, when we depart this place, will be in his presence. And when it comes to that, then it makes perfect sense that Jesus knows no bounds. He will deal and talk with anyone because everyone has value. Everyone has significance to God. Everyone. No matter how they might be living their life here or how they might appear to us, everyone has value before God. And everyone is worth going after. Everyone. And so they start to engage concerning eternity. And nothing was going to get in the way, by the way. All right? Not theology, not difference of religion. You know, she was able to mark out, I'm a Samaritan, we don't believe like you do. And it didn't matter to Jesus either. Because in the end, only one thing matters, is knowing God. And that was at the center of Jesus' heart towards this woman who desperately needed to know who God was. And so Jesus engages her. And she didn't get it at first, you know? The talking about water, she was thinking in a literal sense. Sometimes we do that too. We think of things literally. But when Jesus spoke of water, he was talking about the one thing that would make all the difference in her life, that would actually give her what she needs to make the journey to get to where God was, to where salvation lied. And that was the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that without that, we don't have that passport to travel. We don't have a ticket to ride. We don't. When we come face to face with God, however we do it, wherever we do it, doesn't have to be in a church. Could be anywhere. Immediately we're told that God gives us what we need. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you, that is the one thing that we need to be mindful of as we make this journey. Is God's presence, is God's Spirit with me? Is he guiding me? Or is am I doing it all up here? You know? Do I think that is, if I can cram just a little bit more scripture and Bible verses, and by the way, we need to be in the Word. If I just pray more hours in a day, and by the way, we need to be praying. But at the end of the day, it's the presence of God through the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference. Amen. Are we spending time with him? Is he leading and guiding our steps? Because one day I could be plan on spending hours in the scriptures when the Holy Spirit might be telling me, you need to put the book down and you need to go see so-and-so. You need to visit this person. Or you need to now be praying instead of reading because Keisha Singh is in a hospital and she needs your prayers. Or someone else that you know desperately needs help, needs a visit from God, help for the journey. And it was this water that Jesus was offering her because he knew, and he tried to explain to her, it would be what would keep her for the journey You can walk across the desert, but you're not going to get very far if you don't have enough water to make it the way. Okay? And each of us are on a journey. Each of us. And if we don't have the substance that we need, we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle. The Holy Spirit of God is the only thing that makes a difference. It became apparent to that woman that Jesus had something to offer her. So apparent that it would eventually change her life. I encourage you to read, when you get a chance, the whole chapter of John 4. Because what happens is that woman goes back, you know, the unlovable, unacceptable woman goes back and starts telling others that she met someone that she believed was the Messiah, a Savior that was promised. That even though they were Samaritans, they were fully aware that one day someone would come along and make their lives, well, change their lives. See, it was in that community, in that intimate moment with Christ, that turned her life around. We don't know exactly what she did with the rest of her life, but one thing is for sure, that day her life would never be the same. We don't know if she married this guy, number 6. We don't know how she conducted the rest of her life. But I tend to believe that it would never be the same. That she would be given something because she would be brought into the community, the people of God. And Jesus would make a difference in her life. And that difference would influence everything she did from that time forward. And I want to say to you, each of us need God's influence in our lives. We get it when we come here. When we worship in song, you and I are influenced. We're encouraged. It's a moment where we can, whether we sing along or we just meditate on the words, it's a moment of intimacy with the Spirit of God, enabling us to become aware of the one who is with us 24/7. 365 days a year. The one who can make a difference. The big question for each of us on a daily basis, you see, because we kind of get it in our heads, well, I accepted the Lord back in 1975 or 1980 or 1990, and I'm good to go. And to a measure, yeah. But Christianity, this faith walk, is one where we are inviting God in and accepting Him on a daily basis, bringing Him in, letting Him in, inviting Him in. Because that's exactly what that woman did. By her dialogue with Jesus, she let Him in. And for some of us, that comes easier than others. Because sometimes we think that I can't let God in on this. He just will not understand. He's not going to be able to love me in spite of this. He's not going to accept me. Not after I said that. Not after I thought this. Not after I acted that way. And I want to tell you, that's the furthest thing from the truth. I often like to remind myself, and I might be doing it with you, probably have done it already, but Jesus loved us long before we ever had a thought of looking in His direction. And if He could love us then, what makes us think that He would love us any less now? Because I did this or that, or oh, I blew that, I messed that up, or no, it's not true. The bottom line is that regardless of where we are at or what we go through, it's a matter of inviting Him in. Lord, this is where I'm at today. And a part of us that we would not want to show anyone else, we can show God. And as we grow in community, that is with people who represent him and carry his presence in his spirit in their lives, at some point we'll realize that we can show ourselves to that person too. That we won't be an outcast in their mind or a relationship they once had. That people will stick by and walk with us and help us and influence our lives. And we all need that. We all need that. And here's the difference. Last week we spoke about the rich young ruler. And this week we're talking about the woman at the well. And there's one significant difference that separates the two of them. The man didn't let Jesus in. And he walked away. But this woman, well, she let him in. And by doing so, she opened up the door to a great many other people. Imagine if she didn't let the Lord in at that moment, into her space, into her mess. Think about the people in her own town that would be affected. But if you read on, you find out that because she let him in, she had something to go back and share with the people. And their lives were changed. See, it's safe to say that this is not all about us. But it's about a great many other people that you and I come in contact with. Because once you and I realized that nothing can turn Jesus off, that he will spend the time and talk to us and enter into our mess, then we in turn realize that we have something to tell people around us who may be in a greater mess than us, who may be dealing with a great many more things, who may feel they could never be acceptable, never be loved by God. How could he? How could he love me? But certainly, if he could love this woman at the well, well, many of us would think he definitely can love me. I'm not as bad as her. But God doesn't put any of us on a scale. Regardless of what we have done, said, or how we're living, he has come to wipe the slate clean. To do something wonderful in each of our lives. And that's why he made the journey to Jerusalem. That's why we're moving towards the passion, towards the suffering. Because he loves us so much that regardless of what we could ever possibly do, he knows he's going to go to the cross and die for that sin. His desire is to forgive it because he knows we can't be free from it unless he does. And just as he's changed this woman's life, he so desires to change our own. And then in turn, to use us, to love others as he has loved us. Isn't that the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I want to tell you, the only way I have learned to love myself is I've taken my cues from God. Because there are times I look in the mirror and I don't like that guy. I don't like what I see. I don't like who he is. But he loves the guy in the mirror. He loves the woman in the mirror. He loves the man in the mirror. The kid, the teen, whoever, just loves them. And he wants to spend time and influence each of our lives in a very intimate, personal way, just as he did with that woman. Let's pray. Father, this morning, help us, O God. I look out today and I ask the question, what will it take for us, O God, to get to that place where we truly understand that you love us? Lord, help us to be aware of the fact that there isn't a hidden thing in us that you have not seen. You hear it all, you see it all, and you still love us. Oh God, help us and move us closer to you, to open up our hearts daily to you, oh God, knowing full well that you love us, and then help us, oh God, as well, to enter into the community that you have provided for us, where life takes place, where people love one another, where they are learning to love one another. Because we confess, oh God, sometimes we fall short in that area towards each other. We have a lot to learn. Help us learn it. In Christ's name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.
It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain. By my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Be a light for him. No matter what you've done, he loves you totally. Take that love and spread it to others. In Christ's name, you're dismissed. God bless you.